The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. You're Vadim.
How are you, Justin?
Yes, I'm all right. Do you know what I'm thinking? Now, I've said this before, and I'm sounding like a mad fool sometimes, almost, you know, madly optimistic. But in my mind, right, figures are bad. GDP figures are not good. But the inflation figures, of course, you know, it's year on year, 8.7% in the UK, but America came down yesterday. That gives the markets a bit of a shot in the arm around the world. And I don't think the inflation figures are going to get any worse. You know, I think we've hit peak inflation. Of course, figures are still going up, but you know, we're at 8.7. It was 11.1. Recession is baked in. We see the GDP figures there. Looking at it, we are in recession, regardless of the. It has to be two consecutive quarters. Yeah, the last quarter basically been just, you know, looking at it. Let me just go back to this, and I'll tell you what the last quarter's been like. So, in the last 6 months, right, this is the GDP of Britain. January, 0.1%. February, minus 0.5%. March, 0.4%. So if you add the January and March together, that equals pretty much zero. But if you take away the February, minus 0.5. Q2, April, flat, zero. May, minus 0.3%. And June, what's going to happen there? It's not going to expand, is it? So we are in recession, pretty much. Let's be honest. And inflation is not going to get any worse. So the markets, as we know, have been priced this in for 18 months because they've been down for 18 months. This is what we've priced in. You know, this is it.
Yeah.
So I think now, slowly but surely, yeah, figures, we're not going to be, you know, knock out of the park, fantastic. But inflation is not going to get a lot worse, you know. So I just think the market, again, is ahead of the real economy. So like it was ahead, 18 or a year ahead pretty much of this actual recession readout, then it will be ahead of the recovery. So this is around about this time, in this quarter, these couple of quarters now, is where you look at companies that have been hammered, that are very good companies potentially going forward, and I think there'll be multiples of where they are now in a year or two's time, you know?
I agree. I completely agree. I think, and especially in the small cap space, remember how we were saying, I guess, first in, first out. Tech, biotech were first into this downturn. They were hit the hardest. They've been down for almost 2 years now in, you know, certainly here in the small cap space on AIM. But we were already seeing the signs of first out in that large tech has already moved very quickly upwards. You know, NASDAQ's at 13, almost pushing 14 now, right? 14,000. Yeah. So, you know, big tech has moved, and it won't be long, in my opinion, before smaller tech and biotech start to follow. And we're already seeing that in some areas, like we mentioned. And that's why we've been talking about AI time and time again, because I think those are the areas that's what's driving big tech. And it's certainly, I think, specifically in the companies that have exposure or first movers in this space, in the AI space, we're starting to see movement. You know, we've mentioned a few, and you know, we can talk about, there was a deal recently by NVIDIA. Yeah.
Well, you started saying that now. And so, yeah, take us through that. What happened? Now, NVIDIA, of course, for anyone living under a rock, is the poster child for AI and their processors and chips and all that stuff. And I think there's three bagged in the last, this year, I think. And that's, and they're not a small company, you know, already.
No, they're a small company. They're now a trillion dollar company.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. So another chart here, right? So literally, they were at, they were at $1.20, so $120 in October 2022. That was the low, pretty much. And now they're at $439. So that's, you know, phenomenal sort of rise. And that is, they are the heart of AI, aren't they? They're now 1.08 trillion market cap. So they've done a deal with who?
So this is the poster child of AI. You're absolutely right. Right now, they are the big winners. But what's interesting here is, who are they interacting with? Who are these next companies they've signed an agreement with a company called Recursion Pharmaceuticals. Okay, these are U.S. U.S. based company. It was a $50 million investment into the company and a collaboration agreement. Okay. What does that do to recursion? The stock price doubles. They go from being a $1 billion market cap business to a $2 billion market cap business on a $50 million investment. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I think the point is more important is that here's NVIDIA striking an agreement with a pharma company, okay? You know, a company that's in healthcare. And NVIDIA themselves, and this highlights the whole area as an area that, you know, you and I have been discussing over the last couple of months, is how is AI going to impact drug development? And, you know, this whole ChatGPT LLM models, the large language models, is impacting healthcare, and the first movers are starting to move. And NVIDIA is one. So NVIDIA's interest in this space is demonstrated by this deal. And the read across to me is a company, the perfect, very, very strong read across to a company like eTherapeutics, which we discussed a couple of weeks ago, which is exactly, I would say, is probably the biggest first mover in UK healthcare. Okay, so as in the UK healthcare stock, listed companies in the UK, is the read across to eTherapeutics is perfect because they are exactly doing this. Now, don't get me wrong. This isn't like a winner-takes-all situation. Healthcare is very complex. So, for example, eTherapeutics specializes in liver cells, okay? You know, that is their strength. They have data sets. They have huge amount of knowledge. Their large language models are being trained on that space. My point being is it won't be very long, in my opinion, before it attracts the interests of a larger partner, similar to the NVIDIA recursion deal. You know, and that's, you know, who knows how long that'll take. Nobody knows, you know, who they're talking to specifically. But my main, you know, there is something happening here. It's no longer just hype. Here is a good example of a deal where it's a real deal with a real player of size, you know. So it isn't just AI hype. There are actual transactions happening. And I think that's what I want to just highlight here. Because these deals are what's different. This is what's actually happening, you know, in the real economy, if you like, as opposed to people just speculating on AI in healthcare.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I was looking at their balance sheet pretty much, you know, eTherapeutics, they are loss-making, and they lost about 10 million last year, but they have 30 million because they raised money. So you could say based on that run rate, they've got, you know, three years pretty much. Ahead of them. So, it is almost, we are going to change sooner or later to this sort of hot, I said, you know, it's almost like, you know, we're going to, sooner or later, and we've seen it in America, you know, the money heading towards growth companies again, and these companies have potential going forward. And so you find money flowing out of sensible money market funds, all that stuff, into growth areas again. And then that's when these companies can really take off, isn't it? You know,
exactly. I mean, let's use that example that we just gave as how will we see this risk on come back? Well, it'll start in certain sectors. I think AI is already demonstrating that. But how will it spill over into smaller companies? Well, here's a good example. It's a perfect example. And, you know, who are the companies? Where? What types of companies? Well, where will it start? We've just named a few. You know, we've covered eTherapeutics, but we've covered other ones, Cambridge Cognition. You know, we've covered a few others, SpectralMD, and there's a few more that we'll cover in the coming weeks. But the main point is, I think that's where it'll start, and it is already starting. I mean, the example of eTherapeutics has doubled over the last. It's more than doubled. You know, it's over the last month or so. You know, first movers are moving. And in my opinion, it won't be long before people start to catch on.
Yeah. It's almost like eTherapeutics is one of the things where it is complex. I read through a while back once we spoke to them last time, and it is complex, isn't it? What they do, it's like, wow.
It is. No one's going to pretend to understand everything. I'll give you an example. The company themselves, it's a combination of, you know, expertise, and we're talking about, you know, PhD level expertise in computational sciences, in biology, you know, in computational biology. No one can claim to understand a lot of this stuff. I hate to say it, there's an element of black box to all of this, right? And it's very, and quite frankly, very few companies in drug development have integrated LLMs, so large language models. Okay, so our this is on the cutting edge. There aren't that many companies that have done, or that they're just starting. In fact, if anything, I find drug development is very slow to move on what's happening in the computational space. So yeah, I wouldn't pretend to understand everything about the actual integration of these large language models into the computational platform. But what I can say is that a lot of companies aren't doing it yet. And it's those that are doing it, you know, that understand the space to begin with, that are going to be the true beneficiaries of this change.
Yeah.
So you know, of AI, basically. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm looking at when they last raised money, fundraise, 30th of September 2022, they raised 13.5 million at 20 pence per share. We're only at 22 pence now. So it's not far off that. We're at 28 pence now. Where's the share price in September then? Hang on. So 20th of September. They weren't far off this. So they're like 18 pence there. So was it done at this a premium or what? It looks like.
It was at the time. It from what I remember. Yeah, it was done at a premium.
Yeah.
But now it's ahead pence. Of that.
That says a lot though. When you raise even September, because let's remember the bull market started to fade in pretty much summer of 2022. And this was September.
100%. It was done, I remember now, it was done at a premium in a difficult market. So yeah, it's a signal. It's a positive signal, definitely. And the shareholders involved are very good shareholders. MNG, Schroeder's, they're big names. MNG was the cornerstone in that raise. And you know, they're doing okay now.
Well, do you know what? I was just talking about that, saying, you know, it's difficult to raise money in this environment for people. But if you've got a large swathe of institutional investors that will back you, it's a lot easier because basically you just go and, you know, ask them, and they're more than willing to sort of back you because they've already done so. There's a difference between selling a product to existing customers who like your products and you've launched a new product, or going cold calling and trying to sell a new product to someone who doesn't know anything about it. So it's always good to look at the shareholder register and see who's backing the company, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. Exactly. So strong backers here, but I think it's back to our theme. How does risk on happen after such a long, period of, difficult markets? It happens in a sector. It starts to spread, to tangential sectors. And we are starting to see it now. I am, trying to make the link to AI as much as I can, and move away from the AI hype to the actual deals that are happening. And we have an example now of a company we've recently discussed.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'll look at it. I don't understand it, but I know they're sort of cutting edge and they've got a backing from shareholders. So maybe I need to watch some of their investor presentations and see what's going on.
It is difficult to understand this whole space. And let's be honest, it's evolving very quickly, and where you want to look to is the people that are involved in the space, and then get to know those companies over time.
Yeah. Okay. Marvelous stuff. Vadim, thanks for that. Speak to you next week.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.